Welcome to Identity Church Sunday Morning Message, where sonship is revealed. Stay tuned at the end of this message to receive more information about resources available through Identity Church. Now grab your Bible, sit back, and enjoy a message from Identity Church that is already in progress.
All right. How many know that when you start digging into something in the spirit realm, into the kingdom, that as soon as you get a nice, fresh revelation, that's just going to be tested? And I believe that it's just part of the principles that happen is you get, oh, I got this baptism of love, and I'm on love, and I'm going to be so lovely. I mean, what did we do last week? Charlie is lovely. Charlie is kind. Charlie is, you know, right? Well, that didn't last long. We're driving down to Vero Beach for Thanksgiving, and Susie's driving, and she's running 90, and she was going with everybody else, but then she doesn't like to be at the back of the pack. Now she's running 100. I'm like, you're doing 100. I got to catch them. You know, she's running hard, baby. I'm thinking, I'm sitting in the corner going, help me, Jesus. And so we have our thing, and then later that night, we're heading down to go to Boca Raton, and I'm in the high occupancy lane, which I think is kind of like the speeding lane, and I mean, I'm cooking, and there's an accident, and so I had to, all the traffic comes in. What are you laughing at? You were there. And this little punk Prius looking tree hugger dude would not let me in. I'm not being politically correct because I wanted to run him over. And he just wouldn't. And Susie's like, he won't let me in. I'm thinking, I'll run that little squirt over. And he just was. And then he gave me the one finger fellowship thing. It's like, dude. So we kind of come out and he takes off. I'm like, I'll run that little thing down. It took me about 15 miles. I did catch him. I wanted to let him know that little squirt, a little white, little Prius looking thing. And I'm driving like a maniac. Charlie is patient. Charlie is kind. Charlie doesn't hold any record of wrong. Isn't that what we did last week? Because Susie was driving, I've been doing a lot of studying on love and what it is and how it functions. I threw that out the window. But I did have some time to do some studying, and I've really gotten into a couple of good teachings on what love is and what love is not. And we're going to take last week, we're going to put it into a playlist on our YouTube channel, and we're going to do this week and two or three more weeks after this, because I really have found, I believe, some truths and some keys. Last week was really, you know, good about love, and it exposes us, but then we got to get to the root of why we don't walk in it. You know, and I just want to go ahead and clear the air that Susie drove home, and there was this big maroon truck that wouldn't get out of her way, and so he gave her the one finger fellowship. So, you know, it was another, and she was like, why did he do that to me? Like Miss Innocent. She's like on his mupper. And she's, would you get out of that left leg? Get out of that left leg if you're not going to say. I mean, and he one finger fellowshipped her. So she needs prayer too. This is this family thing of road rage going on. But thank you, Jesus. What? What? What wasn't true? I understand. I know, but he felt like he owned the left lane, and he loved you all the way. I didn't say she did anything wrong. I just thought it was funny. I got it going down. She got it coming back. Life standard is agape. Listen, if you have a standard of perfection that takes you out of love, you must change your standard or let God change you. Did you hear that? If you have a standard of perfection that takes you out of love, you must change your standard or let God change you. That's a good word right there. I just need to live it. Okay. Here's the thing is, you've got to understand that God is a Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And if they weren't a Trinity, they couldn't be agape. Okay? And this is where we need to understand that He is a Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And they have different functions, but they are God. God could not be agape, since agape requires another outside of oneself to be the object of its faithful affection and comprehensive self-giving. Now, I'm taking apart all the scriptures that say love. Okay? Because I'm going to tell you, what we see in scripture is love, we've got, it's twisted. It's twisted. Would you see, love your neighbor, love your this. Some of that is not agape. Some of it is philepo, which is brotherly love. And I'm going to tell you, what I have found in my study is that it has a mixture of what true agape is, and what eros is. Now, eros is a Greek term that you don't find in the Bible, but you find a lot of the principles of eros. And so we're going to look at agape today. And then we will stop with that. If God was a solitary being, He would be self-love. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God, three unique individual alive to one another in true love. Jeremiah 10:10. The Greek word agape is often translated love in the New Testament. How is agape love different from other types of love? The essence of agape love is self-sacrifice. That was not agape on the highway. Unlike our English word love, agape is not used in the Bible to refer to romantic or sexual love, nor does it refer to close friendship or brotherly love, which is the Greek word phileo, which is used. All right, love the symbol of agape is a straight arrow. Catch this: it's a straight arrow, and it points to one thing: God. God is love. Would you take agape to its nth degree, you wind up in the Father's lap. Is that not our goal? Okay, so understand, it's a straight arrow. Agape is illustrated by a straight arrow. If you take agape out to the full end, you arrive at the seven hidden attributes of God's own nature. His DNA is not faith or hope. That's going to mess you up. His DNA is not faith or hope. It is love. It is agape. So if you say, I have the DNA of God on the inside of me, we're not talking about faith and hope. Now, you need faith and hope, but that's part of the journey. That's agape, which is God. Did I make sense? Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus' job description was to bring us to the Father, restore our relationship of love and intimacy that went astray because of the fall. God the Father was seeking us through the person of His Son. Christ intends to bring us to intimacy by the way of agape, the agape road. A lot of my teaching came from a guy named Bob Mumford, which is Papa Jack's, one of his 30, 40-year-old friends. He wrote a book called The Agape Road. And so a lot of this I stole from Papa Jack, who stole from Bob. Okay, but look at this picture here. You know, the agape road goes to intimacy with the Father. I am the way to the Father. I am the truth about the Father. I am the life of the Father. Who's saying this? All right. You know, there was a time where my father and grandmother were part of the Jesus Only Pentecostal Hair Bun Holiness. And dude, they did Jesus Only. And the more I'm studying, I don't think they're that wrong. I think they made some religious rules and regulations that were not part of what God intended. But I think it's Jesus. Okay, thank you for your support. 2 Corinthians 6:18, Jesus was sent 40 times in the New Testament to introduce us to the Father. The love road to the Father. Exodus 34:5-7. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood there with him as he called upon the name of the Lord. Then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness, mercy, and truth, who keeps loving kindness, faithfulness, to thousands who forgive iniquity, transgression, and sin. This is the Old Testament, and it's describing the DNA of God. God's DNA is compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, merciful, truth, faithful, and forgiving. Isn't that a lot like what we did? We looked at Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love doesn't hold a record. Look at the DNA comparison. But this is the DNA of God that lives on the inside of you. Let that sink in just a minute. This is what lives on the inside of you. There is no room for road rage. Repentance is good for the soul. God's glory is the manifestation of agape. God's glory is a manifestation of his communicable attributes that are hidden from the world. John 17:25-26. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you. And these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name. Now catch this. I made known to them your name. Say your name. It's important. And I will continue to make it known that the love which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. So listen, would you take the attributes of God the Father who sent Jesus, who carries the attributes of God the Father, lives on the inside of you. What do you have? The same attributes as the Father. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. God is a spirit. He cannot be known unless he chooses to reveal himself. How many know that you're saved? So there had to be an occasion that he revealed himself to you. So who chose who? He chooses to reveal himself to you so you can have a choice. I mean, isn't that cool? It ain't about you. Papa made the first move. Galatians 4:19. Paul said it on verse 19, my little children, for whom I am again in the anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. Some of this is hard work. Formed in us, God's personality becomes evident in us. Matthew 5:43-48 teaches us to love our enemies that we may be sons and daughters of our fathers. Here's what it says. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. But did you understand? Look at that scripture. So that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. I'm telling you, he's put a demand on to walk in his DNA, in his character, to prove that we're sons. Why? Because he doesn't want a bastard child that doesn't reproduce who he is. Am I allowed to say that word? I did. That's a child outside of covenant. He wants a covenant relationship with us as sons and daughters. So he doesn't. The only way you can prove that you're a son is if you walk in his DNA. Matthew 5:14-16. The objective evidence that God is your father is that his DNA is revealed in us as his very own family. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Listen, we have a responsibility to be light in the midst of darkness. Now, we were in some family environments where I had two choices: shut up and be liked, or talk and be disliked. And they all liked me. But they do. But there's a time where you're not going to. There's a time. There's a wisdom in this. There's a time where what you tolerate will dominate, and you need to speak up. Okay, and there's a time. Just it doesn't matter. It's not time to pick a fight and to take everything apart. You know, it's amazing how quick me and Susie can get in trouble. We can look at each other and tell each other, like, we leaving early today. You know, I see some of you got the same love languages. When I discovered God as a father, I stopped measuring all fatherhood from an earthly standard. Dude, that messed me up. Listen, that statement, I have matured to believe that statement, but it took me 15 years to mature to that. I can say I've arrived, but I went the long way around that map. I took a long journey to get there. Just take that statement and write it down and live by it. When I discovered God as a father, I stopped measuring all fatherhood from an earthly standard. So if you don't know God as a father, you've put the wrong standard on fathering. And you haven't let Jesus introduce you to his father, which means you only have 2/3 of the Godhead. And let me tell you something. You get your identity from your father. So when you don't know God as a father, you become an orphan and you start striving to perform to get his favor and to function in his DNA, which you have not actually embraced. That's good preaching. I feel better about myself already. Having an intimate relationship with God, with Father God, is what the Agape Road is all about. He made this clear when he instructed us to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Deuteronomy 6:5, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be in your heart. When it's in your heart, love will become your instinctive behavior. That DNA of agape will come to the forefront. Mark 12:31, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and all your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And there is no other commandment greater than these. Who's your neighbor? Not everybody. That little dude in that white car was not my neighbor. I did not want him living in my neighborhood. I didn't want to have to talk to him like a neighbor. We had two different kinds of languages that we were going to use. In proximity. See, they're not living in my neighborhood. Look at it, took 20 miles to catch that little rascal. I mean, come on. Maybe your neighbor is the one at work. Neighbor is your neighbor. My neighbors came to my house this morning and said, hey, we're having a guy come and hang all the Christmas lights in the tree. I'm like, let me go get mine. That's a good neighbor, because I ain't going to do it. Jesus is good to me. God wants our affection. Whew. Does he need it? He wants it. God, Jesus, revealer of God's glory. One of the most beautiful unfolding insights in Christology is Jesus coming as agape incarnate for the express purpose of introducing us to the Father. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we behold his glory, and glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Because the incarnation was for the sole purpose of allowing us to see what God is like, then Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. We know that what Jesus really came to do was reveal his Father to a hurting world. So we could take the attributes of God like we did, the DNA, and look at Jesus. Compassion, gracious, slow to anger, mercy, truth, faithful, forgiving. Are they the same attributes? DNA, attributes, characters, characteristics, and we're supposed to have the same. Every hidden attribute of God is revealed in the person and activity of Christ. When we see Jesus, we see God's compassion, his grace, his mercy, his truth, his faithfulness, and forgiveness revealed in the earth today. God as a Father is an important concept in Scripture. He was a Father before he was a Creator. Did that sting a little bit? He was a Father before he was a Creator or a Redeemer. He was a Father of the Lord Jesus Christ in eternity before the world began. And through fatherhood, we can come to know him. Okay, the name application, the DNA, and the glory motivation. This is why when we ask in his name, when you ask in his name, you're actually going, what attribute am I trying to get to manifest? What characteristic of the Father needs to manifest while I'm praying for the sick? Healing, mercy, graciousness. So when we use his name, it's not, you know, it's not a shunda hunda because it feels good. You're actually going is, I want to release his nature and his character. Why? Because I want a manifestation of his glory. Are you getting this? This is deep. This is deep. That'll cost you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? In the name of Jesus, I command that devil to come out of you. In the name of Jesus, I command healing to come. Why? Because that's his nature, that's his character, and he told us to use his name and his character and his nature to do what? Touch a hurting world. That is his motivation and his compassion for us to use his name, know his character. Listen, we've got to get tuned up with his DNA to where when you're in an environment, someone's hurt, someone's sick, and you can hear the voice of the Spirit say, "Hey, there's somebody they're hurting. There's somebody here." And what is his nature? Oh, they got an anger problem. Just tell them that God's slow to it. And release that nature, that character in a form of impartation. But if we're not embracing that he's compassionate, every time we pray for someone in Jesus' name, we're revealing at least one of his seven character traits. Apart from these seven aspects of God's own character, there is no ministry because agape must find a way to reach hurting people. God is agape. John 4:16-17. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Verse 17, by this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is also, we are in this world. Listen, we become confident as he partners with us to release his DNA. And so when you see the world coming to a place of judgment, people will come to you because they know that you carry his DNA of mercy. You carry his DNA of truth. You carry his DNA of faithfulness. The world needs to understand that when judgment comes, it doesn't come to me. I'm the antidote to judgment. This is why when you get wounded and you wind up with a critical mouth, a critical spirit, it's completely opposite of his DNA. That was free. That wasn't in my notes. God's love refuses to remain inactive in the presence of human need. Listen. Leadership of this house, some of our text messages from the elders and where we're at and the needs and stuff. I am proud of this church. I am proud how we are loving each other, how apostolically when there was a need for finances to go to Cyprus, it showed up, blew me away, blew her away. Okay? Family needs. Charles's needs. Listen, this is huge, but I'm telling you, it's just the beginning. It's just the beginning. When you go through the season of thankfulness, like Thanksgiving, and I'm so thankful that we're able to do it. But listen, that's just a seed that's starting to grow. That's the seed that's starting to grow. God is agape. Look up John 4:16 because I didn't put it in my notes. The essential meaning of agape in Strong's number 25 is an exercise of the divine will in deliberate choice, made without assignable cause, save that which lies in the nature of God himself. It is God's absolute by which he measures all things. Listen, that's Acts 17:31. Because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, and of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. Listen, the work of the cross is finished. And God is asking us if we're going to take the very DNA that finished the work of the cross and give it away. And that, it has to be by agape. Agape is ultimate reality. It is used both as a noun and a verb. Agape does not love because of beauty or value discovered. It is a love that comes out of God's own nature. While phileo is reciprocal, agape always reveals God's own character. Agape, when understood, quickly reveals our need for Christ. And Christ is agape incarnate. Agape unfolds in three progressive steps. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Mark 12:30, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your... By the way, thanks a lot, Wendy. She put that scripture on her note this morning. I'm like, dang, get out of my head. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There was no other commandment greater than these. Number two, love yourself because God loves me. He has given me value and worth by pouring his own love into me while I was yet a sinner. Listen, agape loved you before you knew what love was. Number three, love others, even our enemies, in the same manner and degree that he loves us and gave himself for us. Matthew 5:43-38. And I didn't write that down either. This is God's love replicated in his own. Matthew 5:43. You have heard this, that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. You know, there's a maturing process in understanding that. Years ago, I had a store at 147 North Industrial Drive. And I heard the voice of God tell me to pack up, move my location to 690 Rhode Island. And I had no money. I had no way to do it. And the Lord says, listen, I'm giving you an instruction. Supernaturally, I went and I borrowed some money. I did the construction. I did everything I was supposed to. We moved into our grand opening was 9/11. September 11th, 2001. Everybody was in a great mood. I mean, we had hors d'oeuvres, we had the whole nine yards, and it's like, really? This is my grand opening. Thank you, Jesus. Which means the economy started tanking immediately. But the sign that I heard God's voice was that within a few days of that grand opening, and a big, big thunderstorm and rainstorm, 147 North Industrial Drive, the ceiling collapsed. And all the light fixtures would have been ruined in my house. And I heard the Lord say, the rain falls on the just and the unjust because you obeyed me. You just weren't there. I've never forgotten that scripture since. Because I obeyed you, I just wasn't there. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. That's mature. That's when agape takes over. We can love those who don't love us. That little white car. Okay. This is the foundation of what agape is. I'm just going to highlight some things, but my next teaching is going to be pretty deep. What is eros? If you follow agape to its fullest extreme, you find God. God is not faith or hope. God is love. He is agape. If you take eros out to its fullest end, you come to Satan, who wants to possess, acquire, and control. The father of lies passed the whole package of evil desire on to us when Adam and Eve sinned against God. Eros says, look what they are doing to me. Agape says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. This is meat and potatoes here, guys. How many of us sang the song, I want to be like you, Jesus, but you won't let him crucify you? You won't let anybody talk bad about you without you getting even. You won't be able to take any pressure from anybody. But I want to be like Jesus. Oh, really? No, that's a lot of eros. That sounded good. There is no evil in the world other than eros manifested as selfishness. There is no good in the world other than agape as God's own person revealed. All of life can be reduced to three arrows. Remember the first arrow? The straight arrow, a crooked arrow, or a mixture of the hook and the arrow. You want a really interesting example of eros this morning? Right in the midst back here. Big Louie, come and loved on me. I'm like, oh, yeah, Louie, I love you, Louie. And then he's sitting there, and then I went, my neck's hurting. Yeah. And I got a back rub. That was love with a hook in it. I bought my wife a present. What do you want? That's love with a hook in it. That's eros. It's a mixture. It's a form of this. I'm gonna really tear eros. I'm gonna get down to the root of eros. Eros is actually eros is perverted love. Do you know the word evil in Scripture is from the same root word that we get pornography from? Eros is illustrated by a bent arrow or hook because it's always self-referential, turning back upon itself. Eros is the cause and the result of the original fall. It causes us to run, hide, and shift blame. When sin entered the world, the effect was that every nature and center of our being became self-serving and has changed from God to ourselves. Eros can be overtly worldly or very religious. The hook can be blatant or very subtle. You know, my neck's sore. I just want you to... I love you, Louie. I mean, you think that's funny? I actually didn't intend for him, but it worked. It worked. All right, that'll be... This is the Greek sign of eros. You understand the Greeks had a lot of influence in the first century church. And agape and eros do not, it's a mixture. And I really think that, okay, let me keep preaching. Eros has an appetite or yearning desire that is aroused by the attractive qualities of its object. Eros in Greek philosophy came to mean that which is loved for the purpose of personal satisfaction. Some of you going, well, that doesn't pertain to me. Just hang around for a week or two. Jeremiah 15:9 talks about extracting the precious from the worthless. The dividing of soul and spirit is a biblical description of straightening the hook. Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joint and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Let me tell you, when the anointed word of God starts, you start reading the anointed word of God, something's going to get divided. And it's going to divide between soul and spirit. And I'm going to tell you, you'll find that there is no eros in spirit. They're pure agape. You're going to figure out really quickly, you got a mixture going on here. And you're going to find that there's areas of your soulish realm that is not healed. It's a wound. It's a trigger. It's one of the seven giants. I had an interesting conversation with my brother-in-law. He kind of educated me on the word giants in Scripture. And it's so amazing, it's going to take me weeks to prove it. But I believe him enough because I looked up a couple of things. The word giant basically means earthbound. The problem is we think there's giants, but it's people that are successful on the earth. And they're our enemies because they're actually doing better than we are, and we're supposed to have the spirit. That'll be that's about 3 weeks from now. I'm going to read it again. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joint and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intents of the heart. Right down to the part where you can have a thought, wow, look at that woman. And the intent is, I'm going to drive around the block and look at her again. Oh, don't act like you ain't done that. You women probably haven't, but I'm talking to the men in this group. the God wants to separate a thought that is just a fleeting thought and a thought that you turn into an intent. See, agape says, wow, okay. Eros says, oh, okay, I would like to have that for my benefit. This is not easy. The separation is delicate and can be very painful. The Father has reserved the separation and pruning process for himself. We all have to do is to be willing to be brought to maturity in agape. That was the end. Listen. It's interesting how we start off with the fluffy, you know, God is love, God is patient, and that's all true. But when you start taking this apart on what is agape and what is eros, you're going to come slap dab in confrontation to your behavior that is not godly. And it's rooted in something that needs to be crucified, needs to be healed and rejected. We've come into agreement with too much eros, and we've actually put God's name on it. Well, this ain't a shout me down lesson, I guess. But eros, I want to start a language. I want our church to have a new culture, a new language for a culture. And let's start seeing love. That was love. Karen, that was love. Corey, had a little hook in it, bro. Hold yourself accountable. I mean, I did not intentionally do that in front of Louie to get my back rubbed. It's worked. But what if I was intentional about it? It's not pure love. It's like, oh, all right, let me go hug Louie. And if I do this, I'm loving him or I'm hugging him to get something. Isn't that what, you know, I'm a prophet. I think I need to get up and prophesy. Why? So I can be seen. We do it. And we've done it. We've done it for so long, we've put God's name on it. So I was studying this. I was like, Lord, I'm matured past that. He goes, really? Let me show you a couple things. We do mature past it, but I think we don't guard it. There was a time and a season where the Lord said to me, your messages that I give you will be preached from the pulpit of a very large church. And I got kicked out of that church, basically. Not really kicked out. I just wasn't wanted. I was no longer welcome. But I still went and had lunch every 2 weeks with the pastor, and I would share my newest revelation. Wow, I had a vision. God, show me this. Well, a lady that worked for me went there, and she would hear the revelation first because I would tell her because she worked for me, and then I would go tell him, and for the next 3 weeks, he'd preach it. I was madder than a hornet. The Lord says, you know what your problem is? As I told you, your messages will be preached at this church. The problem is you thought you were going to preach them. So was that agape or eros dealing with me? Eros. I loved you enough to give you my greatest revelation that is life-giving from God. But then the eros is, I'm sure I'm the one who has to deliver it. And I learned, God took it to the next level one time. I was in a situation where there was a bunch of Jezebelic activity going on. And God opened my eyes and I watched a couple Jezebels control a whole church. And it was really interesting to watch, and they scared me. But I learned something. They would not openly get up and speak. they would throw thoughts to people in the room. And then people that they could hide behind would say it. I saw it clear. I'm like, that's pretty demonic. You know what the Lord said? He says, why don't you learn something? If you're in leadership, and listen, I've done it quite a bit here. I'll hear the Spirit of the Lord say, let's go, this needs to be said or this needs to be done. And I'll say, okay, am I supposed to, I'm the leader. Am I supposed, no. And I literally have handed it off to somebody. Who needs to say that? Kathy Walton needs to say that. How many times do you see me just, come here, pick you, make you. Why? Because this is a body thing. This isn't a Charlie thing. And if you think it's a Charlie thing, then it's going to be a one-man show and not the body. And I don't believe that that agape is going to function with a one-man show. But the body can. And I'm not giving up my authority. I'm exercising authority from a foundational God. You need to say this. Listen, there's some things that if I said, you would go, oh, I can't believe you said that. And Stephanie will get up and you'll go, oh, that was so wonderful. She's so sweet. I'm like, I said the same thing last week. You didn't like it. Sometimes it's the delivery and the person who gives it. And God wants, we need to know how God's functioning in that. But if you're operating in Eros, I got it. I have to deliver it. That's not agape. And I'm telling you, we do it all the time. Okay? Stand to your feet. When you individually operate in Eros, there's your sign. Listen, if we can't deal with that, then I can't deal with the body devouring itself. Right? Because agape doesn't do that. Agape doesn't do that to yourself, and it doesn't do it within the body. So put your hand over your heart. I know Rodney doesn't do this well, so I'll do it. When he preached a couple weeks ago, he had me do it. Listen, I've really done some studying here, and there's been some exposure deep inside of my spirit, man. And some of the things that I thought was agape was Eros, because I still had some wounds and some rejections. It was interesting. We were out with my son and daughter-in-law, and Susie made a stinging comment that I always pick up the tab. I'm always over generous. And she said, it's because his father wasn't. And that triggers me. It triggered me. And then my son made this statement. Well, then what things do I do because of dad? And I was deemed perfect and innocent. He didn't come up with anything. Susie had a list she was going to give him. Listen, let's go into this season. Let's say this. Father God, I need a reintroduction. Through Jesus Christ, that you're my Father. I see your DNA. I see your character and your nature. I ask you to expose to me the ways that I've hindered myself to not walk in your DNA. Give me the ability to separate Eros from agape, and empower me to empower others. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You may also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read from the Bible, take notes, connect with us on the social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church.